We're glad you're here. We're glad you're tuned in. God loves you, and we think you're pretty special, too. In fact, I learned a vision for the Community Evangelical Free Church this past Sunday. Their vision is to love God and to love people. It's that simple. It's part of the Great Commission, if you will. It's something that Jesus taught about and spoke about, the importance of loving God with all of our hearts, minds, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. What a great purpose for all of us to do today, to follow, to practice, to think about, to consider, to weigh. Think about those things and then put them into practice today. Spend some time with God. Maybe it's through your devotional readings. Maybe it's through a time of worship. Maybe it's through just looking at His great handiwork, the sky, the animals that He's created, your yard. Maybe it's something you see on the way to work. Give Him praise for His great handiwork, His creative capacity, His ability to create something out of nothing. And then also see His handiwork as He's created people in His image and love on them, care for them, share with them a compassionate consideration or a word of encouragement or financially, just treat them to lunch or do something in a unique way that would show or exhibit God's love. Well, let me first start off with saying happy last Monday in January. It's January 30th, 2012. And wow, in a couple days, we're going to be saying happy February. I mean, we have tomorrow, Testimony Tuesday, and then February 1st is Wednesday. Wow, what is happening with this year? But anything that'll get us closer to warmer weather in the spring, I'm all for. In the studio with me today, on this Testimony Monday, if you will, on this Mark and Friends edition, and it's Mark and Friends, we're calling it that because I'm inviting many friends. Sometimes the friends are made over the air as they're introduced to me for the first time. Maybe they're authors or artists or musicians, and I've read their book or listened to some of their songs or heard about their life story, and so we call them up and we have them on. And other times it's some close friends, it's some dear friends that I've known a number of years that have had a testimony to the community, a testimony to my life. They're involved in their church. They're trying to press kingdom influence, power, and authority into their realms of experience. So there are all kinds of guests that are on Mark and Friends, but this is a true friend. And I'll qualify from this point forward that he's a very reluctant guest. He's one that doesn't want any of the glory. He doesn't really want to tell much of his story because he says, Mark, I don't want any of the credit. I don't want this to be about me or anything that I've done. I'm a servant of the Lord. If I have anything, it's because He's given it to me. If I share it with anyone, I'm just sharing His resources. I'm just a steward of Him. You know, I don't want any credit to go to me. In fact, I really don't want to be here in the studio. I said, Skip, people need to know who the bear chair is. So, Skip, thanks for being available. I know you're reluctant, but this isn't about you. This is about a good God that shares gifts with His children and desires to work in and through us. And I know you're reluctant to take any credit, but really, you're not getting the credit. This all goes to God because He's instilled in you or gifted you with certain abilities, certain traits. And I think it's important for our listeners just to get a little snapshot into some of your life, because I know a number of our listeners have heard us reference the bear chair, but they need to know a fuller story of who this bear chair is and why you got that name. So thanks for being available this morning. And you can talk now. You got to at least say a few things. I know Larry Bunning, Budget Tours, is expecting me to carry the whole program, but we need to hear you say a few things today.
Well, my name is actually Marvin Doble. My uncle, my mother's brother, named me Skip when I was 2 weeks old, and it stuck.
Yeah.
I'm a Skip. I'm not a Marvin. And I just thank the Lord for the family that I was given to a Christian family. I was raised in a Christian home and went to church regularly and learned a lot about the Lord and Jesus. In 1949, we had a catechism class at our church, and after that class or through that class, I accepted Christ as my Savior and was baptized there shortly afterward. And so that's kind of where I got my start, and eventually was married, and we have three children. One of them lives in Atlanta, Illinois, one in Bloomington, Illinois, and one of them in Vancouver, Washington, which is way too far away to have four grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So then after that, I kind of got into the earthmoving business through the help of another fellow. And I always tell people I started playing in the sandbox when I was a year and a half old, and I never got over it.
So. Yep. I'll share some of that. In fact, I have seven areas that I've written out that I want to cover according to some of your life experiences and some of your story. And you have a neat little way of sharing that you grew up a Mennonite, but you're very free now. And I want you to share that. But let me quickly do a shout out before we get into some more of your testimony. But I had dinner again with some very good friends, Tony, who's also known as Ton. He's a professor at U of I, and his lovely wife, Loria. So I was at their house last night. So a quick shout out to them. And then also yesterday, for those of you that were tuned in, you heard the special dedicated day for the Dr. Wilsons, Dr. Paul and Dr. Catherine. They celebrated their 29th wedding anniversary yesterday on the 29th. So what do you call that? Like when you have a birthday, if you're 30 years old on the 30th, is that like your golden birthday? Is that something like that? Well, your eyebrows are going up. You're not certain, but they had their 29th anniversary on the 29th. So maybe it was their golden anniversary. Thank you and congratulations, Dr. Paul and Dr. Catherine Wilson of Champaign, for supporting this radio ministry. They've dedicated the 29th for a number of years, so we just thank them for their support. Well, Bear Chair, what I wrote down is we're going to explain why you're called the Bear Chair, sharing a little of your faith story, growing up attending the Mennonite churches for many years, and then I thought we could share a little about your experiences in Israel. You were on an all-men's trip, we're thinking like in 2006, and then the humanitarian mission trip in 2008, and then I'd like to share a little about Dover bulldozing, because you've done that a few times in my own yard. You've helped out with my floating dock and actually lifting that dock up into the air and getting it into the water and then pounding in these pillars or these big, like 26, 24 foot big pipes so I could attach it to that. I want to talk a little about horses and carriages. Some people might not know that that guy behind the bulldozer is also many times behind a horse pulling a carriage through town. Some of the gospel greats. You listen to that program like none other. I think when we used to air it four times, sometimes you'd say, I've heard it three or four times that day. And then what it's like to be under Pastor Jason Schiffo's teaching, because many of our listeners are familiar with Pastor Jason because he's here each and every Wednesday. Day. You attend the Community Evangelical Free Church and you're involved in the leadership there. And I think last night you even had a business meeting, a visionary meeting on where God's leading the congregation. But let's begin with, you've been labeled the Bear Chair. Some of our listeners know why, but for many it's like the Bear Chair. How do you get a title like that?
It was probably back in about 2000, as there as we can remember here, that Debbie Yeagle and myself, he was on our missions committee, and I was the chairman of the missions committee at Community Free Church. We approached the radio station and provided our services, and I would take the boxes out to the different places. Then they would be gathered back up. We'd bring the bears to our church, and they were scattered out and went through and selected and weed out the bad ones and bag the good ones. So then eventually we'd see that they got to O'Hare to the airport. Well, someplace down along the line, they said they called me the bear chairman. So yeah. From there on, I've been the bear chair.
Yeah, you were loading them up and lugging them for all the way from like Danville to Decatur area around Bloomington and then up to O'Hare. And what was going on is back in around 2001, 2002, we were thinking of different ways. We had begun doing trips to Israel, but many of our returning pilgrims wanted to have a hands-on experience, a missions experience over there. And we talked with the former governor's wife, Brenda Edgar. She lives across the river from us. And she had done a unique thing years ago where they were collecting teddy bears for at-risk kids and for foster home children and others. It was a big campaign in Illinois. And we had talked with her because the Consul General of Tourism that was in Chicago, when we went up to meet with him, we said, hey, how can we show show support? What could we do? Like, do you need medical supplies? What could we raise? And he said, you know, just being there, showing some solidarity, showing some care, that would be the greatest support. That would be the greatest testimony, just to go on a trip to Israel. And so we were thinking about different things. He said, well, maybe teddy bears or something. And then we learned about Brenda Edgar doing that big campaign. And so we met with her. I think we even interviewed her some years ago. But anyways, we started that. How could we get teddy bears together? And we created these boxes and put them out at some various locations. And we just said over the air, hey, if you'd like to donate teddy bears. And so initially, I think we got a couple thousand to coordinate all that. And then we started doing it for the next 3 or 4 years. And then we included some social service agencies in Illinois and in Indiana. So we collected teddy bears for Israel, for Illinois, and for Indiana. And we kind of, the bear chair had this big truck and this big pickup or that U-Haul or whatever. So you could load a lot of things in there. And so you became the bear chair and have helped oversee that project all those many years. So we appreciate that. Now, I cut you off a little on your faith story. You grew up with parents that got you going to the Mennonite church and catechism, and you were like always there at the Mennonite church, but you're not at a Mennonite church now. How did that happen?
Well, over a period of years, I moved from one place to the other, and actually before I started coming to Community Free Church, I had attended the Nazarene Church in Clinton for, I don't know, a couple of years. One of the fellows that was at Community Free Church invited me, and I got there, and, boy, I'm learning a lot here. They're really feeding me, and so that's when I started coming there, and then eventually I my membership there. And been there since, I think, about 99 or 2000, I've been at Community Free Church.
Yeah, and I think you referenced the other day, or we were kidding, you said you've been free ever since.
Well, I kind of joke around, and maybe I shouldn't even say this. I was born in Mennonite Hospital. I was born to a Mennonite family. I went to a Mennonite church, and I was married in a Mennonite church, and I attended Mennonite church, and now I'm free.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah, yeah.
It's still all under God's love and control.
Yeah, and something that I learned in a Sunday school class, or not something that I learned, but something that was emphasized is, you know, when we're in Christ and we're focused on what he did for us and his love, we got to be careful that we don't start adding all these other things, whether it's a denominational teaching, whether it's a certain preference on how we were baptized or certain things that maybe we've been taught. We got to be careful that we don't say, that's what gets me into heaven. It's really following the Lord Jesus. It's what he did on our behalf. It's surrendering to him. And denominations have their role and, you know, some of their doctrine or their differences, but we always got to be careful that it's the Lord Jesus that's first and foremost, and he's the priority, and there can be some differences in methods, but he's the only way to the Father, and we just got to be careful sometimes. But it's neat that I know you've been very involved. You've been serving. And this past Friday, we had Randy Gauger on the air, and he talked about spiritual gifts. And as I've observed you, and he said Pastor Randy was teaching, it's really important to encourage people that are operating in their gifts, to reinforce them, to give them feedback. And I don't know if you know this, Skip, about yourself, but I've seen you over the years as a servant and a giver. I don't know if you've ever done a spiritual gift inventory or somebody's taken you through that, but you have served in so many different ways, and it just seems like you have a heart of a servant, and you love to give. You love to give your time, your energy, your resources, kind of your talents to various endeavors that'll expand God's kingdom. But knowing that you serve, are you just wired that way, or did you just one day feel like, Lord, this is something that I can do? I mean, you're a servant. What would you say to somebody that doesn't know what their spiritual gift is, but they like to help?
Well, I kind of think in my own life, if I see a need, I'm drawn to go to it, see what I can do. And it's just like the bear campaign. I had the opportunity to help with that. Well, I just kind of went along. I'm not saying that I did it, but God gave me the opportunity. And the same way at our church, if something comes up to do, I'm drawn to it. I want to help. And I just feel as though if I'm not helping, I'm missing out. I'm not gaining all the blessing I can get. The more you help somebody else, the more blessings you get yourself.
You know, a number of years ago, I heard a sermon series by Dr. Charles Stanley on the spiritual gifts, and he emphasized some of the motivational things that happen when you operate in that gift, how you get energized. And one thing he said about servants, and I've always thought about this, and we have to be very careful as the church body. Sometimes we might see somebody and it's like, oh, they're always the first one to volunteer. They're always the one jumping up to help. They just want to be in the limelight. They just want the credit. And he said he cautioned people to be very careful. You don't evaluate them in that light, in the flesh, if you will. If you're thinking in the flesh, oh, they just want the credit. They want to be in the limelight. They said, no, servants are just wired. They just almost are compelled. They have to get out there and help and assist. And that's just like their DNA. They get energized. They want to do it. And they're not seeking the glory or the credit. But if you don't know that about the person, you might think, why are they always volunteering? Why are they first in the line to help? And it's just kind of how you're wired too. You see a need. And so let me share that to two different groups of people. Those of you that have a servant's heart and just feel compelled or energized or want to help, follow up on those intentions. Or maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is, but you have that tendency. Serve, serve, serve. You have been created, given spiritual gifts by God to serve because that's what you're good at. And it really helps the body. What I have always seen, Skip, and throughout my life, I have a lot of ideas and things that I like to do, but God has always, always, always raised up great servants around me. So I have like the best job. I'm like a visionary and I have ideas, but I need people to help. And he always raises up people. So servants, we need you. You are crucial to the body of Christ. But the other group, those of you that might from a distance see these servants and think, oh, why are they always the first to volunteer or to help or to serve? Recognize they're operating in their gifts and bless them and encourage them. And don't think that they're looking at it because they want to get out in front of everyone or get the attention or derive their self-esteem. Look at how good I am. They're wired that way. So anyways, that's just a little tangent teaching. No extra charge for that. But Charles Stanley, it changed my life. I'm an exhortation. So I thrive on seeing people grow. What better job in the whole world to oversee or be involved in a radio ministry that helps people grow day and night? I mean, I thrive at this. And his teaching was when we operate in the spirit, like when God is really leading us, we'll operate a certain way. And then if we operate in the flesh, we operate in a little different way. It's not a good thing. But exhortation loves to see people grow. And when you operate in your spiritual gift, you get energized. So I could teach a Sunday school lesson. I could operate in other gifts, but it's more taxing. It's harder on me. I have to do a lot of preparation and planning, and I'm kind of worn out. But when you operate in your spiritual gifts, you generally get energized. Like Jason, he loves to study and teach God's word. So he can spend hours reading books and studying because that's just how he's wired and he gets energized. It's not taxing. So when he teaches because he's passionate about it and so forth. And so it's an interesting way of looking at your spiritual gifts. Are you energized when you get to operate in it? You love to give. So if you love to give, did you just think about different ways you can give your resources to other causes? You know, if you're a teacher or if you're a prayer, you just love to pray. You love to find out how you can pray effectively. You need more information so you can pray specifically. So all those gifts, if you're worn down or reluctant to do it, you're probably not in the right fit, or you maybe should pull out of whatever it is and allow the person with those gifts to jump right in. But back to you, Skip. You're a servant. You love to give. You love to be involved. You drive a bulldozer, and yet you also drive a horse and carriage. So you like to minister in a lot of different ways. Like when you do a project for people, whether it's landscaping their parking lots or bulldozing acres to level somebody's field or their farm or whatever, you love to do a good job because it's out of that Colossians passage. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So maybe in our closing couple minutes, share a little about how you even look at your work as a service unto the Lord.
Well, I always try to do the job the best of my ability. And when I get done with a project, I look at it and I say, if this is the Lord's farm, would I leave it looking like this, or would I go back over it and make it look a little better? Mm-hmm. And I always try to keep him in the limelight of what I'm, total project. The big picture has got to be what God wants. And I fail, I fall, I sin, like God knew we would. And I kind of always joke a little bit, and I say that Father God looks down at me, and he tells Jesus, he said, look what Skip did today. And he said, that's all right, Dad. I took care of that time ago. Mm-hmm. And I know that he'll never forsake me or never leave me. I just thank him for the opportunities that he's given me to fellowship with other Christian people.
Yeah, I know we were saying before we went on the air that one of the unique things about God, if you've been drawn to God, if you've come into that relationship with him through the Lord Jesus, and maybe you've sinned today, you've sinned this past week, none of that is a surprise to him. And Skip, we were talking beforehand, you know, I made an early commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ at a young age. And I think back to that time, because any of the sins from that point on were not a surprise to God, and yet I knew he drew me to himself at that young age. And it's like when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, and I felt like because of what the Lord Jesus did on my behalf, I accepted that, his shed blood, he took my sins to the cross, that any sins that I've created all these years are not a surprise to God. Therefore, I'm still very comfortable and confident in his finished work, and that when he drew me to himself at the age of 10 or 11, that it's like I can look back and knowing that even when I botch it up now, he is still faithful. And he drew me to himself back then knowing that I would botch it up into the future. And that's the truth for all of us. Our sin doesn't keep us from heaven. If we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart, our sin is dealt with. Now, some of the blessing and some of the chastisement or some of the discipline that will follow when we sin is going to help us to be refined and corrected and convicted and hopefully going to make us change and cling to him. But because he loves us and he proved it through the shed blood of his son, when we accept him into our heart, that's kind of like a done deal that we can cling to and know that it's because of his faithfulness and his goodness. And we can't earn our way into heaven, and we can't do it by just being good or by serving others. It's because of what Jesus did. But if you ask Jesus into your heart, and that would always be our prayer, the consequences of our morning program or listening to Christian radio, that you would draw near to God and allow him to draw near to you, and you get to know his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would pray that through some of the things that have been shared or said today, that if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, let me give you a phone number to call, and there are trained counselors that can talk with you about entering into a relationship with Jesus. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, Skip, it wasn't so hard, huh? I got a few things out of you today. I think I did pretty good, from having a reluctant servant that didn't want to talk about himself, share a few glimpses, a few snapshots into his life. So thanks for being a friend. Thanks for supporting this radio ministry. Thanks for being so involved in the Christian community and the community at large, where you do a lot of services and help people and desire to bring Jesus into all those realms where you can influence. And thank you for listening today. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.